Isaiah chapter 61. Verse number 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called, might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, they that are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, I just want you to use me this morning. I don't want to stand in the way of anything that you want done. Lord, I pray that you just take these lips and help them only say what I should. Lord, help me to glorify you this morning. Help me just be a blessing to your people. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that's not saved, that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would be saved today, and that they could have the assurance of their salvation. Lord, I pray that there would just be a quiet spirit here this morning. And pray that you just help the junior churches that are going on right now. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about this subject this morning, and I don't know if this is a proper title or not, but that's kind of the way I am with most of my titles, so I don't know. But we're going to talk about making a deal, okay? Making a deal, or let's make a deal. I know that's kind of probably a game or something that people play. I played in children's church before, and it's kind of fun. So, but we're going to talk about making a deal. I don't know about ladies. Obviously, I'm not one, so I don't know how your mind thinks about things, okay? But I don't know a whole lot of guys that are, you know, true men and, you know, that don't like doing a little trading, a little bartering, that type of thing, okay? Maybe, you know, I know that there are some guys in here because we get to talking together about things that we've traded, junk that we've swapped, you know, different things like that. So I do know that there are people in here that understand that. And everybody, we trade a lot of different things. People trade different items. I love to trade. I love the challenge of trading. I love trying to beat the other person in what I think is the better part of the deal. Okay, and you know, and there's also, you know, a defensive part of it. You can't let them get the better part of you, and so it's just a lot of fun. And you know, sometimes you come out ahead, sometimes you lose a little, but you know, it's you basically come out even or lose one way or the other. I remember trading when I was young. Okay, I was a wheeler dealer when I was young. Okay, I would trade all kinds of stuff. You know, we'd play Monopoly, me and my little sister. Okay, and you know, she would have like, I think it's like Park Place and Boardwalk or something. You know, the two that if you land on them, you go bankrupt. All right, and she would have those, and so you know, I really wanted those. So I would be like, all right, I'll trade you 5 of my properties for those two. Well, they're the silly ones, the ones that you pay, you know, $1 for or something like that. And she'd be like, 5? And I'd be like, oh yeah, 5 for 2. Well, you know, who doesn't think that's a great deal? 5 for 2? And so she'd trade me, and then I'd make her go bankrupt when she landed on them. And
Did she be out crying and everything? And it's like, well, we made a deal. We made a deal. And you can't go back on it. We made a deal. So, I love making the deal. I hate paying full price for anything. I do. Food is about the only thing I pay full price for. You know, I don't like going to Walmart. I despise the concept of you have to go into a store and you have to pay. When was the last time you went up to the cashier at Walmart and said, I'll give you $2 for that? And she just looks at you like, what? Now, I know all you ladies, you do the whole, you know, price match thing. You got your envelope of, you know, it's somewhere in, I hate getting behind you in line. It's somewhere in here. What did I file that under? Coupons. It's like, really? You know, Walmart's terrible anyway. They got 40 registers and 3 of them are open, okay? And then I get behind a coupon lady, you know, and she saved 25 cents while I spent half an hour standing behind her in line. Anyway, praise the Lord for coupons. Amen. But, you know, I started to say food's about the only thing I pay full price for. I don't like the concept. I'd rather go to pawn shops than Walmart. Because, you know, you go to a pawn shop, and if you go to a pawn shop, let me just say you're stupid if you pay what they're asking for anything, okay? They don't put the price on there with the thought of actually getting that much money. Now, if they do, that's great, and they made a lot of money on that item. But you always go in there, and you always, all right, what do you take for it? You know, they want $20. I'll give you $12. All right, well, no, I can't go that low. Well, I'll give you $13. Well, let me go talk to my manager. You know, they always do that. They always got to go talk to their manager. I don't know if they really go talk to their manager. I think they just go in the back and then come back out and, you know, whatever. I went to a pawn shop the other day. Well, it was last year. And time flies when you're having fun, right? But I went to a pawn shop and we were actually Christmas shopping. We were actually Christmas. And we had a budget that we had to, you know how it is. Tight budget. And, you know, we only wanted to spend so much for people. So I was looking for something for my father-in-law. So I decided I'm going to go to a pawn shop. If I can buy it used, I'll be a lot better off. And it's not something that, you know, if you buy used, it's not going to be terrible. So I went to a pawn shop, and I went in there, and they had a tool I really wanted, okay? But they wanted like $250 for it. And I was like, man, that's kind of blows the budget out of the water. And it's not for other people either, so that's not really. My wife was still in the car, thank the Lord. So I went in there and I was like, all right, I started looking this thing. It was a bowl float. Most of you don't know what it is, but it was a bowl float for concrete. And it was a nice one. It had the twist handle and everything. And I started looking at it, and I'm not lying, but to function, it was missing a hole in one of the pipes, okay? So I had to drill one hole in one of the pipes to make it function. So I called the guy over there and said, hey, this thing's broke. This thing won't even work right. Look, you can't even put together, and I showed him. I said, it won't even slide together. Well, he didn't know what it was. He had no clue. He just thought it was some big whatever sitting in the corner. And they owned $250 for it. I was like, tell you what, I'll give you $50 for it. He's like, oh, I don't know. He's like, let me go ask my manager. So he went back and talked to his manager, and he come back out. He's like, I can't go that low. I said, $75, and I'm walking out the door. He's like, well, I don't know. That's pretty cheap. I was like, look at it, man. It don't even work. I'm buying a piece of junk. I'm buying it for scrap metal. He's like, well, yeah, it don't work. I can see that. So I moseyed on down to the bank, got my $75, and I walked out with a bowl float for, you know, $350 bowl float for $75. You know, I like making a deal. I mean, it's a deal. Now, you know, I'm not out to cheat people. But listen, okay, you say, Brother Chad, did you lie to him? Did he lose money? Okay, listen. If you go to a pawn shop and they sell you anything, they did not lose money on that item. Okay, so if you come out of the store, they did not lose money. Now, they may have not, you know, raked you over the coals, but they didn't lose any money. So I like making a deal, all right? I like going to yard sales. Okay, if they have tools. If they don't have tools, I call it a junk sale, okay? And some ladies, you like making, I know ladies in here like making deals, okay? You know, I'm the kind of person that if I go to a yard sale, you know, they'll have a whole table sitting there. And I'm the kind of person that I don't really care, you know, I want one item on the table. So I'll be like, I'll give you $5 for the whole table. You know, that type of deal. And, you know, I just take everything. And then I'll sort through stuff and throw most of it away. And, you know, you never know when you're going to find that item, though. You know, those people that bid on the storage units, you know, that then they find, you know, something that was worth like $2 million in there or something. That's kind of my deal making. I like making a deal, okay? People trade everything. People trade cards. You know, I always thought I was going to make big money trading baseball cards. Wherever I got that idea, I'm not real sure, but that's not legitimately possible, except for the baseball card company that makes baseball cards. They make money on it. But, you know, trade baseball cards, people trade coins, people trade stamps, people trade recipes, okay? I don't know. You've got something in life that you've traded before. You've made a deal with somebody, okay? And I'm just going to talk about some trading stuff this morning. And, you know, first of all, trading involves, here's the first thing, trading involves both parties being involved, okay? I've never traded with somebody that wasn't there, okay? It just does not normally happen, okay? So it's a face-to-face, it's a trade thing. Trading involves both parties getting something, both parties being involved, okay? You know, going to work, you're trading your time for a financial gain. That's what you're trading, okay? So when you go to work, you work 8 hours, they pay you for those 8 hours. That's you're trading your time for a monetary gain. Buying something. When I go to the store and I do buy something, when I go to Chick-fil-A and buy one of those delicious sandwiches, I trade my money for a sandwich, okay? I trade that. When I sell something, I'm trading an item that I have for some monetary gain. All right, bartering is technically something else when you trade an item for an item, an item for an item. Okay, so you have buying where you trade money for an item, you have selling where you trade an item for money, and then you have bartering where you trade item for item. Okay, and there's excuse me, there's different things about that. I'm just going to throw this out there because it was on my heart mind last night. You know, getting a check in the mail is not trading. All right. If you won't work for something, all right, and if you don't give something for something, that's not right. That's stealing. Okay? And we'll just leave it at that. But listen, you know, nobody entitles you to anything. Okay? Nobody entitles you to anything. All right? You get some. Now if it's a gift, that's fine. I give my kids something as a gift sometimes. I give people in the church things as gifts. But that's a different thing entirely. When you're trading something, that means things swap possession. Both parties get something out of the deal, okay? So think about that. Let me say this. Trading usually involves getting something that you value less or giving something that you value less in order to obtain something that you value more. Does that make sense? Okay, so if I want something and I say, all right, this is what this is worth to me, I'm going to give this amount for that item. That would be because I value what I possess less than what I want that. Does that make sense? So the Chick-fil-A sandwich. I decide that, you know, the $4.69, have mercy, that Chick-fil-A wants to charge for their really good sandwich is worth more to me than the $4.69. So I trade my $4.69 to the kind lady that always says, it's my pleasure. And I trade that with her, and she gives me my nice hot Chick-fil-A sandwich. Okay? The tool I bought at the pawn shop, they traded me $75 for that tool. Okay? And everybody does some trading. Okay? And it's an essential part of life. Everybody does it. And I want to illustrate. Samuel, you got your pocket knife? Come up here, Samuel. All right. I got a pocket knife in here. It's a piece of junk pocket knife. Somebody gave it to me as a gift. You got yours?
Yeah.
What kind is it? Old timer. It's missing the thing, but it's an old timer. All right. I don't know where this one came from. And it's really dull because I think I cut a piece of wire with it the other day because I didn't have snips, so I just cut it with the wire. All right. But from what I've heard, Samuel's is really dull too. So we got two dull knives. All right. That's excellent. We'd be in trouble if we was hurting, wouldn't we? Yeah. All right. So you know what trading is? Is trading is swapping. Thank you. You know, you got a lot to learn about trading. You got to do the whole, you got to do the whole trading. You know, so now is that trading? No. I now have two knives and Samuel has no knife. That was a great deal for me. An excellent deal. But you know what trading is? Trading is exchanging. Trading is exchanging things. Both parties end up with something. Now, his has got three and... What did you do with that knife blade? He's got 2.5 blades. 2.5 blades. All right, we're going to trade back. There we go. I don't know if I trust that knife. He's already got one broken blade. But we traded, didn't we? We traded something very simple. And you know, I've traded guns, I've traded knives, I've traded, but I'm always looking for something that I need better than what I have. Or maybe I've got doubles of what I have. So I'll trade, maybe I've got two of these, so I'll trade one for something that I don't have. Okay? And we trade things through life. And go ahead and sit down. I'm going to use you in just a minute. So we have the concept of trading. And we, you know, you give something and I'll give something and we'll make a deal about it. I like buying stuff on Craigslist, okay? And if I sell something on Craigslist, okay, I always sell it with the thought that they're going to try to get me to go lower on my price, okay? Now, this is a personal pet peeve of mine, I guess. If I go to somebody's house and, you know, okay, they got a tool set for $150, and I say, all right, I'll give you $125, and it really is worth, I'm not trying to, you know, rip them off. It's worth $125 to me, and they're like, no, $150. I won't buy from them just for the principle that they won't negotiate price. I won't. It just irritates me. It's like, well, fine. I wasted my time to come out here. And I would give them $145, but if they're like, no, $150. Like, okay, I'm not going to give them the extra $5. That's just me. That's maybe a weird thing, but I'm not going to give them the extra $5 just because they won't negotiate with me, okay? So I like to trade. You say, Brother Chad, you're really weird. I know, all right? But trading involves both parties getting something, okay? Trading usually involves giving something that you value less for something that you value more, okay? Very seldom do people just trade even. I mean, they may trade even, but one of them wants something worse than the other, okay? But in Isaiah, it's interesting here. Look at verse number 3 with me. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 3. We're going to talk about this morning. Excuse me. Let's make a deal. Make a deal. You know, God wants to trade you some things. God wants to trade you some things this morning. And I hope this is a blessing to you, this morning. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 3. The Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, listen to this, beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. The next thing, the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. The last thing. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, God very simply, and the Lord kind of, I was actually studying this for Sunday school, and I thought, you know, God's a great God. There's no doubt about that. But God also wants to do some trading. Now, remember the two things that we talked about, primarily the one. Trading involves what? Two parties both getting something. Two parties both getting something. And we're going to go through this, and then I'm going to come back to the first one at the end. Okay? And we'll probably be out of here early, actually. First thing, beauty for ashes. beauty for ashes. You know, God comes to us and says, hey, I want to trade you beauty for ashes. You know, I don't know anything that leaves more of a destructive path than what fire does. A very visible destructive. We went down to Louisiana and helped Brother David and Ashley and their church down there. And honestly, if it wasn't for the trash piled up on the side of the road, you could probably drive through the areas and visibly looking at the houses, wasn't a whole lot of evidence that something had happened. Now, were they destroyed? Absolutely. They were amazingly destroyed. But there wasn't the visual. But if you go out to some of these places where there's been wildfires and you drive through maybe a community that has been ravaged by wildfire, you know, there's nothing. There's nothing left. All there is dark sentinels of what used to be. Blackened trees. There's no life. You know, down in Louisiana, there were still trees growing. They were still green. You get in a place that's had a big wildfire, it's nothing. It's ash. There's nothing left. Something that has been on fire can definitely be said to have been destroyed. Fire has something, a way of taking something that, like a forest that's beautiful and turning it into something dark and black, something ominous, something sinister, something without life, something without breath. God says he wants to take something that has been destroyed, much like a fire would destroy something. He wants to take something that's been destroyed, something that's been ravaged, something that's ready to die, and he wants to trade it for something beautiful, for something amazing. Many times we live every day with something destroyed in front of us. Can you imagine, having your house destroyed by a fire, and then maybe you set up a tent outside or a camper outside because that's still your property. You still don't want to leave it. But every time you wake up in the morning, every time you look out, there's that what used to be your house standing there black, no life, no breath, sinister in a way. And you stand there and you look at it, and every morning you get up. You know, folks, some of you in this room this morning, you've had things in your life that's been very destructive. Some things that you say, Brother Chad, in my past, or I'm going through a fire right now, and Brother Chad, it just seems like everything right now is getting destroyed. My life is turned upside down. Everything that I thought was stable, everything that I thought was there for me. Young people, sometimes you go through sometimes your mom and dad get divorced. And everything in life that you thought was the way life should be is automatically flipped upside down. Everything that you thought life, the joys that you had every day, the pleasures of life, is all gone. It's all ashes. And you know what God says this morning, folks? Hey, let's do a swap. Let's trade. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. You know, God wants to make a deal. God wants to take your life. They say, Brother Chad, I've messed up. I've screwed up. I've got these things in life that, Brother Chad, it could even be something that you didn't do. I've got a health issue, Brother Chad. It's just ravaged my life. I don't even feel like living anymore. You know what God wants? Hey, trade me. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. God wants to make a deal. And I'm going to go through these quickly, and then we're going to come back just a little bit. Look at the second thing. Excuse me. Verse number 3. The oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. Hey, you know, we have people in here today that they're mourning. And there's different kinds of mourning. But we have people in here today that are mourning. Some people mourn the loss. We had a dear lady in our church just pass away. You know, people mourn the loss of that. And that's good. That's right. That's the way God created us. But you know what God said? I want to trade the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. God asked us to make a deal.
God asks us, trade me your mourning and I will give you joy. Mourning doesn't just happen when someone dies. Many times mourning is a mourning about our state. Listen, it's about our state. You ever heard the statement, don't feel so sorry for yourself? You know, sometimes we as Christians just get in this mournful attitude about what is happening to me. Oh my goodness, the world is coming to an end. We have this woe is me attitude. You know what God says? Hey, I want to trade your mourning for the oil of joy, for the oil of joy. You know, some of the most miserable people in the world are people that are sorry for themselves. Sorry that they didn't have this opportunity in life. Sorry that this didn't go right for them this week. Sorry that this happened this week. Get over yourself. Seriously. Get over yourself. There's a lot, when, you know, there's some people I don't like to ask if they, how their week's been. And I'm being dead serious. How's your week been? Well, and then you spend the next 20 minutes and all they can tell you, now, okay, I'm sorry. If you've had a bad week, say, oh, it's not been real good. You know what I'll do? I'll pray for you. And I'm not going to lie to you. I will pray for you. You know, sometimes you say something, it's like, well, I'm okay. Well, you know what I'm okay means to somebody that lives on the top side most of the time? Things are not good, but I'm okay. There's people in this church, young people in this church that, you know, you almost never see them downhearted, sad. They're the people that when they say, I'm okay, they're the ones you got to worry about. But you know what? They'll never let it show. They'll never let it show. But who are you? Are you the one that, oh, woe is me, I just had this terrible week this week. What about all the good things that happened this week? Remember that message I just preached? Are you looking for penny? Are you looking for dollars or are you picking up pennies? Well, I didn't find any dollars this week. Yeah, but how many pennies did you walk over? It's a mindset, people. It's exactly what Pastor's been preaching about the mindset of the victorious Christian. It's all in your mind. So what are you? Hey, get over yourself. I wish I was this, or I wish I was that. I wish I had different parents. I wish I lived in a different family. Be happy with what you got. Be happy that you have parents. There's people in this room that they didn't have much of a parent growing up. Be happy you have a parent. You know why things are always... Do you know why things don't go right for you? Brother Chad, no way. Nothing just... It just doesn't seem like everything goes right. Everything just goes right for you, Brother Chad. Right. Everything goes right for me. Absolutely. I don't have bills. We don't have medical issues. We don't, you know, we just don't. I get a check in the mail. You know? No. I have issues too. And, you know, sometimes I'm not a real happy person. I'm sorry. Sometimes I can be a real stick in the mud. But you know what? Most of the time, I try to just kind of take everything in stride. Hey, I can't do anything about it, so I might, you know, it's what Pastor said. There again, laugh or lose it. I'm just going to laugh about it. You know, I made a fool of myself today, but, you know, at least everybody got a chuckle out of it, okay? Laugh about it. Have fun with life, okay? And most people, it's like, oh, I just, you carry your feelings on your shoulder too much. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Okay? Anyway. Do you know why things are always in a bind? Things don't go right. This is what I started to talk about. You know why things are always in a bind? Things don't go right. But Brother Chad, things just don't go right for me. Makes me think of something. And I talked about it in Sunday school, so you probably know where I'm going. Do you know why you can't catch that break? You know, I just need to catch a break. But the break never comes, okay? You know why it never happens? You don't have the oil of joy. And it's interesting that the Bible phrased it like that. He could have said the joy of the Lord,
It could have said a lot of stuff. You know what oil is used for? A lubricant. Oil is used for a lubricant. You know, Brother Chad, everything's just, there's too much friction in life. Are you happy? Think about that. Well, I just don't get along with people. Well, maybe because your demeanor. Just saying. Okay? If you're a grouch all the time, I wouldn't want to get along with you either. The oil of joy. You know, I love being around Brother Nathan, and I'm not trying to pick him out this morning. But I do. I love being around him. We played. We got done yesterday. We got done yesterday at, I don't know, 4:30 or whatever with the work day, and we stayed and we played. We played a couple games of volleyball. And, you know, we all kind of made a fool out of ourselves and showed really how we don't know how to play volleyball and, you know, all that stuff. But you know what? We had fun. We had a good time, okay? And there's young people in here. There's older people in here that you can walk into church and they see you and they got a smile on their face. And you think, well, everything just goes right for them. No, they've just got the oil of joy. They've got that lubricant that, oh, this is not going right. Squirt a little joy on there. It makes everything go much smoother. It does. It makes everything go much smoother. Be happy. Be happy about it. I had an air gun the other day that it malfunctioned. It started blowing air inside the air gun. Thankfully, I just finished the roof I was working on. Leaking air like crazy. And so I took it apart like I usually take stuff apart. And inside there was a seal that had blown on the inside. And I got looking at it, and you know the reason that gun malfunctioned was because I didn't put enough oil in the gun when I started to use it. And it dried out, and it caused friction, and it tore that seal up. You know, and you think, Brother Chad, I've just got all this stuff going wrong in life. Well, why don't you squirt a little joy in there? Be happy about some stuff. And you'd be surprised what goes right. So, Brother Chad, it's not going to fix my problem. But it'll make it stop squeaking. Hey. You know, I was working on Pastor's truck before he took it to Montana. And I drove it down the road. I was like, oh my goodness, what is that noise? And it was his shocks, not his shocks, but the rubber bushings inside his springs. And, I mean, it was bad. I was like, I was embarrassed to go through Jasonville. I was like, but, so you know what I did? I brought it back. I had to put a wheel bearing and some other stuff on it, and that wasn't the cause of the noise. But so I got my old PB blaster out, and, I mean, I soaked those things, just dripping with PB blaster. And got back in it, drove down the road, drove like a Cadillac. You know what it was? Did it take away the problem? No, it's probably halfway to Montana. Troy's probably like, squeaky, 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 squeaky. But it made it go away for a while. But you know what that is? Pastor on the way, hey, did you fix my truck? It's making that noise again. He'll call me on the way back home. You just need some PB blaster. Squirt in there a little bit. You'll be fine until you get home, all right? But you say, Brother Chad, that's ridiculous. Is it? Are you going to dwell on it? And, you know, all that does is, you know, if you don't put oil on something that's squeaking, eventually it will break. Eventually it will wear. Metal on metal has a tendency to wear each other. Just kind of a state of physics, okay? So put some oil of joy in there. Hey, folks, be happy. You know what God wants to do? God wants to take that morning, and he says, hey, swap me. I'll give you the oil of joy for that morning, all right? You know, the beauty about the young people here, and I love watching the young people sing. I don't know, maybe God's touched my heart for our young people some. But the smile that's on their face is worth everything. You know, I don't care how well a person sings, but if they can sing out and they got the joy of the Lord in their heart, it sounds amazing. It does. It sounds amazing. I love watching them stand up here, and you can tell that they're happy. You can tell that they're singing. Do they have problems? Yes. But the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Brother Chad, I just got all these health issues. I often wonder how many health issues aren't related because we do not have the oil of joy. You know, oil also was another thing that they used for medicinal purposes. Oil is used for medicinal purposes. The oil of joy just makes life go that much smoother. The oil of joy. God wants to trade you the oil of joy for your mourning. Last one, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, folks, and I'm not making light of this, but there's folks in here this morning that have a heavy heart. It may not even be from mourning. It may not be from a self-centered mourning. But you've got a heavy heart. And if I asked you, what's wrong? I don't know. I'm depressed. I got this heavy heart. You know what God says? Hey, trade me the garment of praise for that heaviness. You know what a garment is? It's something that you wear. Something that you wear. You know, and it's interesting. He said a garment of praise. You know, a garment is something that you have to have every day. But you know, a garment covers up what's on the inside. Now, I don't know how, where to go with this. I think the Holy Spirit can use that. But when you have a garment of praise, it's not that maybe that heaviness completely goes away. But when you put that garment on it, it covers it. So, Brother Chad, you're not fixing my problem. I'm sorry. That's something that you got to go to God about. Okay? And there's multiple applications here that you can use as a garment of praise. It may not be the destruction and ruin of the ashes, where God said, trade me beauty for ashes. It may not be the spirit of mourning, but for some reason there's a spirit of heaviness. God wants to take that heavy spirit and give you a garment of praise. He wants to lift your spirit and make it feel, listen, like praising God. Like praising God. When was the last time you, Brother Chad, I'm just depressed. When was the last time you praised God for something? When you stop looking at yourself and start looking at what God has done for you, it starts taking away those burdens. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. We're going to finish this, and then I'm going to illustrate it. Matthew chapter number 11. Verse number 28. Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Did God say he's going to take your burden from you? I mean, I'm not saying that. Did God say that he's going to make it where you don't have a burden to carry? No. He said, take my yoke upon you. For my burden is easy. Okay? So God says, hey, swap me. Have you ever done that before? Maybe you haven't. But you'll be carrying, two people will be carrying something, right? And one of them weighs 100 pounds and one of them weighs 25 pounds. At some point, unless, you know, you've got Goliath carrying the 100-pound one, he's going to get more tired than the guy carrying 25 pounds. And you know what sometimes people do? Hey, swap me. I'll take yours and you take mine. You know, the Bible says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, that's a whole other topic. But you know what God says? Hey, are you tired? Are you weary? Are you just worn out with life? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what God wants? Hey, that, you know what that is? That's a trade. You're swapping stuff.
I want to go back real quickly to the beauty for ashes, that thought. I want you to pay real close attention this morning. You know, when I was trying to, like, Lord, how does this tie in? But you know, we all have a destiny. We all have eternity that we have to live someplace. And God wants to trade an eternity with Him for an eternity in hell. And I got to thinking about that beauty for ashes. What could be more symbolic than trading the ashes of hell for the beauty of heaven? I just want to challenge, I don't know who's here this morning, but I want to challenge you. Trade, you're going to go of one of two places. You're holding one of two items right now. An eternity in hell or an eternity in heaven. You've already made the swap. You've already made the trade. But you know what God says this morning? Hey, if you've never made that trade, you need to make that trade this morning. You don't know, folks, when your last breath will be taken. We were at the cemetery the other day, and I caught on a couple of the gravestones. 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds. I think there was a 6-year-old I saw. Folks, you don't know when life's going to end. You don't. So what does God say? Trade me the beauty. I'll trade you the beauty of heaven for the ashes of hell. I'll trade you. But Brother Chad, doesn't mean, no, I'll trade you. I'll trade you. Well, I'm going to hang on to, I'll trade you. I want to illustrate this. And this is maybe as important a truth as anything we've talked about this morning. But what was the first thing I said? Trading involves both parties getting... Samuel, can you come back up here for me? Now listen, folks. What we want to do, what we do so often, is we want to trade, but we want to do the trade that I did with Samuel the first time. We want to say, okay, God, I want to trade you my ashes for beauty. Okay? So I'm going to give you the three bad ones. Is that okay? Joy, mourning. Some of these are gray, some of these are black, and one of them is black and gray. My printer was malfunctioning, so that's the reason. Swap me. You take the good ones. I'll be the bad one. All right. You know what we have? We have ashes, right? Because what did God say? Trade me beauty. I'll trade you beauty for ashes. So we have ashes. You got beauty? I should have taken that one. I'll trade you ashes for beauty. Okay? But you know, listen. But you know what we want? I'll trade you. No, just give me the beauty one. We want both of them. Listen. Are you hanging on to your ashes? Are you hanging on to your ashes? Or are you trading your ashes for beauty? Because what is a trade? That involves both parties getting something. So if I'm going to trade, you know what Christians, well, I'm just going to give it to God. No, you haven't. Or you still wouldn't be bitter about it. You're not really giving it to God. You just want God to, well, here's what I want God to do. I just want God to cover up the ashes with beauty. That's not what God said. God said, give me your ashes and I'll give you beauty. You know what a lot of people do? We'll do this a lot. You know what a lot of people do? You know what salvation is to a lot of people? These are my works. All of our works, which the Bible says, will be burnt up with fire. These are the works of my hands. God, I want a little bit of grace thrown in on top of that. But God says no. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works,
not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what would happen if we went to heaven like this, right here? If we walked into heaven and we had a little bit of grace and a little bit of works, we would be exactly like Lucifer and we say, well, I made it to heaven partly on my own. And God says, no, you have to trade me. You got to give me your ashes and I'll give you beauty. You say, Brother Chad, I've got that thing in life that's just destroying my life, that it's ravaged my life. It's my life is black, it's dark, this thing has happened in my life, and you keep holding on to it? Well, I want God, just, you need to take care of it. And God said he would. I'll give you beauty for it. But give me your ashes. Give me your ashes. You know, I can take a white t-shirt, which I normally take a white shirt, and somehow it gets grease on it, some way or another. I don't know how it happens. It just gets grease on it. But I can take a white t-shirt, and I can roll it around in soot. It was a white t-shirt. But ashes has a way of making even the purest thing dirty again. So if you live this way, if you live and never let it go, it's going to have a way of making it not so beautiful. So you got to trade. God wants you to trade. He wants you to give him your ashes, and he'll trade you beauty for it. He wants to give you a home in heaven, but you got to give him your complete trust and your complete faith. None of this, well, I'm going to do part of it myself. That doesn't work that way. You have to trade him, all right? God, and this is going to apply to all of these. Ready? Heaviness and praise go together. There you go. You know what God says? Hey, you got a heaviness? And here again, this is what so many people want to do. And this is why so many people listen that don't get the victory over something. Is they want to hold on. They want to do the whole one-sided trade deal. Well, I'm going to praise God today on Sunday. And then Monday, you're back to this. Then Sunday, I'm going to praise God. And then Monday. And then Sunday. And then Monday. You know what you got to do? God says, hey, give it up. Me and my wife have talked before. You can watch it on the countenance of the faces of people that fight this. When they've got it, they've got all of it. But when they don't, man, there's a lot of heaviness there. And a lot of heaviness. The joy of mourning. Joy versus mourning. Last one, brother. Joy versus mourning. Hey, what are you mourning about? It could be a loved one. And you know, in a lot of ways, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It takes time. And God gives you that joy. And I think this is maybe, in that instance, it's maybe a slower swap. God mixes the joy with the mourning. But if it's a self-centered thing, and if it's all about you, well, I just feel so bad for myself. I've just got this bad situation in life. Grow up. Get over yourself. And if you ever see me bemoaning my situation, just tell me to grow up and get over myself. Because I'll tell you to grow up and get over yourself. Why are you bemoaning your situation? Some of the hardest things in life make some of the best people. Some of the hardest things in life make some of the best people. But you know what God says? Let's trade. I'll give you the oil of joy for your mourning. I'll make things go better. I'll make life happy for you. Most people don't know how to read this sometimes. I find a lot of humor in a lot of situations. I found a lot of humor in this room this morning. I try to hide it sometimes. But you know, you can find humorous things in every situation of life. If you have the oil of joy. If you have the oil of joy. You know, the worst times, the worst days in my life are the days that it's like for some reason I've just decided that no matter what anybody says to me, I'm going to be upset about it. I am. It's just, those are the worst days in my life. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, a month ago. Maybe it was last year. I don't remember. I mean, for some reason, it was that, I think it was that whole spirit of heaviness. I don't know what it was. It was like, I'm serious. Everything somebody said to me, it was like, I'd snap at them. And my wife is like, man, you're moody. You're a grouch. She's like, go back to work, you know? And I was, man. I knew it. That's the thing. I knew it. I knew I was a grouch. And for a minute, I was just really happy being a grouch. I'm just going to wallow. Have you ever seen a pig wallow in mud? They're really happy doing it. By the way, my pigs for that we had for the spring thing, Ruby, for those of you in the Christian school, that were in the Christian school. We brought Ruby back one day for Christian school. But Ruby that was probably 25 pounds is about 250 pounds now. And you know what she likes to do? She likes to go and wallow in the mud. She does. And that's what I felt like. I was like, oh, this feels wonderful. I'm a grouch. Don't talk to me. I'm a grouch. But you know what? At some point, it was like, okay, Chad. And there was no reason. Nothing had happened to me. I had no illness. There was, you know, life was good. I was just grumpy. Okay? And at some point, I was like, okay, get over yourself. And you know, seriously, folks, sometimes, and I'm not, because I don't know why I was going through it. Maybe it was, you know, the devil really working on me hard or something. But sometimes you just say, okay, God, I'll trade you. And then it was like one day it was like, I did that. It wasn't like, oh, God, let's trade. You know, it wasn't like that. It's like, okay, this is ridiculous. People at church aren't benefiting from me being, you know, grumpy. The people at my house are not benefiting from me being grumpy. So I decided to change it. I want to be joyful. So I started laughing at myself. Call myself stupid, you know, all the good stuff of life. But listen, are you trading? Are you holding on to it? Well, I'm just going to hold on to this back here in the back. No, just let it go. Trade it. Because remember, trading involves both parties getting something. Brother Chad, why in the world would God want, your ashes? He's a great God. Why in the world would God want your mourning? He's a good God. Why in the world would God want that heaviness on your heart? He's a good God. I don't know. I can't answer that. But he said it, and I've experienced it. But God doesn't want you to hang on to that stuff. He wants you to give it to him. He wants you to give it to him. You know, God doesn't want you to spend an eternity in hell. And I think that's one of the reasons. God, you are his prime creation. You are his prime creation. And I don't think God wants to see his best creation spend an eternity in hell. And so God said, remember what John 3:16? Everybody knows that. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He traded. Why in the world he traded his Son for me, I will never understand. I have a Son. As much as I love you people, as much as I would give my life for anybody in this room, and I would. I've already crossed that bridge in my mind, so I don't have a problem going there. As much as I would give my life for anybody in this room, it would be tougher for me to give my Son. Why would God do that? I don't know. The Bible says, for God so loved. I guess it's love. But he wanted to trade his Son for my sin. September 5th, 1993, I did that. I traded my sin for his Son. It was a good trade. It was a good trade. But here again, folks, you know what? Remember what I said? I traded my sin for his Son. Why would I want to hold on to this? Why don't, if God bought me, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If God bought me, why doesn't he get everything? Why does he get everything? Something to think about. That was kind of an odd Sunday morning message, maybe. But I do know there are people in here that are hurting. And I just want to encourage you, hey, trade. But give that to God. Give it to God. There's maybe a lost person in here this morning. Give your heart to Jesus. It'll be the best trade you ever made. I like to make a deal. I like to make a deal. How about you? Why don't you make a deal this morning? Give God, give it to God, and let God give you beauty for your ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for your heaviness. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. God, thank you for the trade, the opportunity that you give us to trade our sin for your righteousness, trade our sin for your Son. Lord, I don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand it. Father, thank you for the times in life that you've offered beauty for ashes, that you've offered the oil of joy for mourning, that you've offered the garment of praise for heaviness. Lord, I have no doubt that there's people in here that feel like their lives have been destroyed, but you offered them something this morning. God, I have no doubt there's people that are in mourning for various reasons, and I pray, Lord, that you would help them to know that you've offered them the oil of joy. It just makes life go smoother. Lord, I pray that you would just help those that maybe have a heavy heart this morning for maybe can't even explain the reason. Pray that you just help them to know that you've offered that praise, that garment of praise for them. Help us just to look at our lives, Lord. You help me to look at my life and see where I need to do some trading, and I need just to have a better mindset, better mentality. Lord, thank you for these good people. Thank you for their attentiveness. And Lord, I pray that you just help the invitation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.